Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
This is Jay Richards with the Discovery Institute. Thanks so much for joining us. I am joined again today by science historian Mike Keyes, who is the author of the terrific recent book, Unbelievable, Seven Myths About the History and Future of Science and Religion. We have been talking in a series of episodes here at ID the Future, actually about the new series that's currently airing called Cosmos Possible Worlds, which is the third edition of the famous Cosmos series, first in 1980 with Carl Sagan, then in 2014 with astronomer Neil deGrasse Tyson, and now here in 2020, Cosmos 3.0 with Tyson, and it's a National Geographic miniseries, and we're working our way through the episodes and talking about the science and religion and those themes that recur throughout the series. Mike, thanks for joining me again.
You're welcome, Jay.
Well, and so let's dive into episode 5. We've talked about the first few episodes of Cosmos Possible World, but you write about this in an article at Evolution News and Views in which they're talking about ancient medicine, which is, of course, it's an important thread of the history of science itself is medicine, which is the care for human people. And you talk about how, with few exceptions, such as the Greek physician Hippocrates and his followers, this episode sort of talks about ancient medicine as just merely a ritualistic appeasement of the gods. I mean, the idea is that, you know, really good, reliable medicine only triumphed as science conquered religion. So we only sort of get it once religion has been sort of pushed into a dark corner. I mean, help us out here, Mike. Is that the right picture? Is that the right description?
No, it's not, Jay. And I can point to tons of resources to show otherwise. For example, in a Johns Hopkins University published volume on medicine and religion in the ancient world, or actually from the ancient world actually up to more recent times. But in the section of the book on ancient medicine, Gary Ferngren and his co-author, and Gary Ferngren's written a lot about history of medicine and how it relates to religion, they write that there were typically four kinds of causes that the major ancient civilizations appeal to when trying to explain illnesses. And we're talking Mesopotamian, Egyptian, Hebrew, Greek, Roman, and early Christian texts. And the first was, of course, God, or gods, plural. Second would be demons. Third, magicians. And fourth would be what we would call natural causes. And the point that they make, which is very different than the story that Tyson is giving us in Cosmos, is that although some societies did take one or more of these four causes and really focus on that, most of them considered all four kinds of causes as potential causes. So anytime you encounter an illness, you want to do a thorough investigation, which would include looking into the natural causes of that disease.
See, I mean, that's interesting because, so, I mean, this general picture, which of course Tyson picks up on, but I mean, I've heard this story countless times that essentially for most of human history, everybody was attributing everything either to the god or the gods or to demons. In other words, it's all supernatural explanation. And it's only very slowly and grudgingly that we end up with natural explanations so that there's this sort of zero-sum game, right? You either have these supernatural or spiritual explanations or you have natural or scientific explanations. But in fact, the works by Ferngren and his co-authors suggest, no, actually, even early on among all of these different cultures, there was at least generally a sense that, okay, sometimes things are well explained in terms of these supernatural beings, but there's also sort of natural causes. In some ways, that's way less satisfying if you really bought into the warfare of science or religion trope. But right. I mean, it rings true. I mean, I don't know that much about ancient cultures. I do know the New Testament. And even in the New Testament, where in the Gospels, where you have Jesus healing people, he's raising people from the dead. So he's got this sort of supernatural power. And sometimes he'll come upon people like the incident with the Gadarene swine, where there's the man possessed by demons and he casts out the demons. But there's other cases where somebody just has some natural sickness and it's actually described that way. And that's right there in the Gospels in which you have all of this supernatural stuff happening.
Yeah. And on the flip side, today, it's not like it's suddenly evaporated. I mean, even the New York Governor Andrew Cuomo described the healthcare workers who are facing COVID-19 as, quote, doing God's work in a press conference a few weeks ago.
That's right. Yeah. So, at least when we get in the sort of crisis mode, but it's not like logically speaking, these were ever necessarily competing. I mean, if God created the universe, it didn't mean he created the universe and then is constantly having to act directly. He could also have created a universe with its own sort of logic and rules.
Exactly, including what causes an illness and what kinds of interventions might relieve or heal the illness.
Yeah, but that's not, of course, the kind of impression that you get, at least from this episode. And I'm guessing, I mean, this is a softball question, but this isn't a random kind of historical mistake here in this one part of this one episode. I mean, this is kind of part of the larger picture that Tyson and I think that, right, the producers are wanting to portray, this warfare thesis.
Right. And I analyze this in my book, Unbelievable, which deals with seven myths. But all seven of the myths contribute to the larger story, the meta-narrative that science and religion are essentially and throughout history at odds with each other, because one's all about rationality, the other's about believing things that you don't have evidence for. And of course, the second definition is totally out of sync, even with several biblical descriptions of people being encouraged to use their minds to discern truth. And it's not just a blind acceptance of authority. And when it comes to authority, of course, there's authority in science, there's authority in religion. And people ought to question authority. And are there good reasons to believe certain authorities? Well, in some cases there are, but you have to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Well, so is there a more plausible version of this argument, though, that, okay, it's complicated and people have, in many cultures have understood there are both natural and supernatural causes, but is there kind of this general trend that, well, maybe ancient peoples were too inclined to appeal to supernatural causes? So at least say in the West, Christianity still, despite the nuances, was it at best, it was still basically a hindrance overall to this development? I mean, would you concede that, or do you think that doesn't get it right either?
Yeah, it still falls way short, Jay, because, especially when you look at when medicine began to really make a significant difference in people actually getting better, let's say in the last 200 years, well, that's when modern science had progressed to the point where we were really learning things that could be applied to promote health. And that sort of rapid growth in science was taking place largely within cultures that were dominated by the Judeo-Christian tradition, and for good reasons, because these people and these cultures, they had certain science-fostering beliefs that were tied to their theology, that God is not a God of just capricious do this, do that, that he makes a world that has predictable characteristics to it so that, and here's the theological point, so that humans embodied in physical bodies, they'll know that if they take an object of a certain weight or a certain shape, they could hurt someone else with that object, be it a sword or whatever. And so there's certain, to be a morally responsible creature, you need to live in an environment that has a certain degree of predictability to it. So that idea that the world is governed by certain rules that are imposed on it by a creator God, and that he made the world, designed it with those rules, well, then humans made in his image, as the Bible teaches, would have some basis for understanding at least some of those rules, because the way in which their minds resemble the mind of God.
And you've got this, some great videos, actually. I know that I've seen them. One's called Three Big Ways Christianity Supported the Rise of Modern Science. And I think it's on YouTube, unless they've pulled it off for violating community standards, right? If somebody Googles that, so it's, Three Big Ways Christianity Supported the Rise of Modern Science, where you talk about a lot of this stuff. So anybody that's interested, I encourage you to check that out for more on these basic insights. Well, Mike, let's talk a little bit about, it's clear that in a sense, the Cosmos series is sort of anti-religious, at least with respect to sort of traditional theistic religion, but it really, in another way, it's quite religious. It's pushing its own religion. And I think that you really get some evidence of that here in episode 5, having to do with a kind of, sort of aliens and technology. Is that right?
Yes. There's this section of this episode where Tyson speculates that once we understand the connectome, all the neural connections in a person's brain, that we could recreate that artificially, or maybe even the future people could somehow go back and reconstruct individuals from the past and resurrect them, as long as, of course, the people in the future wanted to actually see these people and wanted to resurrect them and had the hardware and software to keep this running, that somehow they could be resurrected. So there's this sort of conditional immortality that's kind of on offer here, that maybe there could be an afterlife after your body wore out if somehow we could kind of reconstruct your brain hardware and software and kick it into, you know, running again.
So this is the kind of the transhumanist idea, right? That it's kind of a salvation by technology in which we're going to upload ourselves to a more durable hardware and leave this mortal coil behind. Is that the idea?
Yeah, it is a kind of a secular hope for an afterlife. I have a chapter in my book on this called The Enlightenment Myth, and whether it comes from below, from humans getting this technology off the ground, or if it comes from above, from aliens contacting us and giving us this technology, the hope is that we would be able to somehow pull this off, and that this would be a way to preserve the consciousness or the brain activity or whatever you want to call it that we call our personal experience. But it's a very materialistic, reductionist view of what the human person is, and it really doesn't do justice to all the nuances of human experience.
But so Tyson is more attracted to this from below idea that our technology may eventually advance to the point where we can do this. But I know his predecessor, Carl Sagan, was attracted in some ways to the higher beings. I know in his book that was made into a movie, Contact, you get this this higher father-like figure, which is this advanced alien that connects with the main character, Ellie Arroway, and it's the same kind of idea. It's a materialistic eschatology. We don't have gods, we don't have angels, but we are going to have really fancy computers, and maybe there's some really advanced aliens that will connect with us, which in some ways, I mean, this is sort of, okay, what do you do with the general religious impulse and the desire for meaning in a world that has been stripped of meaning? And this is what you get. You get technology and you get aliens, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. And if you interview me in the future, Jay, about the last episode, oh, there's some real doozies in that one, but let's save it for
them. I bet. Yeah, let's save that for sure. And, you know, I should probably mention the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence, and I'm involved there, and the website is Mind Matters. We talk a lot about materialism and artificial intelligence and both its promise, but also its limitations, and this idea of uploading our brains to computers. It really is the kind of great hokum cult of the postmodern age. And so let's leave it there. Mike Keyes, we've been talking about this new Cosmos series, Cosmos Possible World. Mike is the science historian and author of Unbelievable, The Myth of Alien Enlightenment is the article or the video on YouTube, actually, that focuses on this last thing we were talking about. And his book, Unbelievable, talks about all these myths of science and religion. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Jay.
Well, this has been Jay Richards at the Discovery Institute. Thanks so much for joining us.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.